opportunity now to hand over to the public protector and her team to respond to the questions asked by honorable members.
On a point of order, Chairperson.
Bulgadi.
I think the deputy public protector should be called in for the comment I need to make.
Public protector. In the meantime, let's proceed with answering of the questions. When he comes, then we can attend to the point of order raised by Honorable Gade.
Okay. Honorable Mohammed, I would like to, Honorable Chairperson, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all honorable members who congratulated the public protector team. Indeed, it's the work of the team, and we will try by all means to take your suggestions and inputs back to the team. We told them as well that they must listen for themselves also, so that when we go back and improve on your side, or what you are suggesting, at least they know that the portfolio committee has requested us to do that. And secondly, I would also want to thank the Auditor General, because if it was not for their guidance also, and also availing their team to meet with me and the PPSA team, we wouldn't be also moving with the speed we are moving in having our books in order. So on the issue of the case management system, I will ask the CEO to just brief the committee on the status of this matter, but we are proceeding well. And the 30 days for creditors, CEO and CFO will answer this. On the issue of the Operation Ison Law, not at all. We are not working with the Department of Justice, but what has happened is that it means the department failed to assist the complainant, hence the complainant escalated the matter to the public protector so to assist in this particular instance. Hence our intervention helped to assist the complainant. And then the next question, which was asked by...
Chairperson, before the public protector goes to the next question. Can I come in? Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, you need to reprimand the Deputy Public Protector. And he must not provoke some of us. It's never done what he did. It can't be that during a comfort break, he's greeted nicely and I'm looking for water or something to drink. And then he pounces on me like a load of crusher stones, telling me literally how useless I am and how powerful he is and how he's coming back to answer and what do, something like, who do I think I am, and how he's going to tell me about what I said about the public protector before, and who do I think I am. I mean, literally, that's how he conducted himself in front of other members. So should we be intimidated not to ask questions in this committee, because or anywhere in this precinct, because in comfort breaks a client or a department appearing before us will be taken to task during tea, unless maybe it is a norm that is being done. You can rule on that, but I didn't take it lightly, and I'm not the two public protectors that he has done what he's doing to me, and he must never try it. I take serious exception.
Deputy Public Protector, did you do what it alleged you have done?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I think Honorable Gadi is exaggerating our interaction, because it was witnessed by a number of honorable members. Mr. Janti, Mr. Ngola was there. they can confirm they were witnesses, that I said I'm going to respond to him and correct his narrative. So the beauty of lies is that they have very short legs. Honorable Gadi, let me respond to you now, actually. I found that...
The public protector, I just asked you that question.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, Chair. I think my concern was that there was a lot of embellishments and exaggerations, hence I had to respond. Yes. Thanks very much.
What I propose we do, we allow for these proceedings to finish. Because I think it will be important, firstly, to do what we are expected to do today, to deal with the issues of the annual performance plan. Then we can deal with that matter after we have dealt with this with the processes of today. I think the allegations that Mr. Gadi is leveling against you, I think we will need to hear both sides and give both sides enough time to deal with the issue. I think let's first deal with the annual report and finish it, and then we can decide how do we want to handle the matter going forward. Okay. So yes. Which means we can come back to the public protector.
Thank you, Chairperson. The stakeholder management, Honorable Mohammed, fewer cases reported to the office. Whether is there any specific reason? On this one, I will also respond to Honorable Horn and Honorable Breitenbach or Honorable Swart, because it's as if, or they perceive it as if the office is, not from your side, but from their side, as if people are losing confidence or trust in the office. And when we were here on the 10th of July, I think Honorable Janji asked about the impact of Vision 2023, those eight pillars. So there are eight pillars which are there, and it will also address the issue of Honorable Jele, because it deals with the issue of the language, or Honorable Mufuking. It deals with the issue of access, the first one, speaking to the community in the languages they understand, using community radio stations. That's what we are promoting, so that when we explain to the community, they understand our mandate and what we can investigate, what we cannot investigate. The other pillar is pillar number 7. Last year, we were promoting pillar number 7 through our roadshows, which we are doing in terms of Section 182.4 of the Constitution, the issue of accessibility. So when we speak about accessibility, we speak about the language, we speak about the footprint, where we've entered into MOUs with the Department of Justice, SALGA, to utilize their offices when our outreach officials are visiting those areas. But then specifically to the numbers of fewer cases which are reported, we've encouraged state institutions to establish their own internal complaints mechanisms. This year when I was going back to the provinces which we visited, I had to say the provincial representatives, they need to show which offices responded, because when I wrote the letters to them in each province which we visited, we said to them, please establish a complaint mechanism so that when we come back, we know what you've established. This we were saying to them, we know you don't have resources. We are not saying employ new officials or additional capacity. But in a municipality, when we have community members coming to complain, at least you have a customer service person or an official who can respond, because that's what caused people to be agitated and taking the law into their own hands, or as well approaching the public protector. And last year I was insisting that we are not public servants. We cannot do the work of the public servants. We also have our own challenges. Therefore, they have to do their work and assist the communities. That also is because of this sector ombudsman. Last year, we attended the five-year report of the tax ombudsman, where he was saying for the past 5 years, he handled 40,000 complaints. And if there was no tax ombudsman, those 40,000 complaints should have been brought to the public protector. Then we also have the military ombudsman, we have the health ombudsman, especially on all the challenges in the clinics and the hospital. They handle those complaints. We also have, Cape Town has a city ombudsman. They lodge complaints there. They also have a police ombudsman. They also complain there. So those are assisting that public protector then can focus on systemic investigation. That's the intention of the Vision 2023, that we then can focus on the systemic investigations. And those systemic investigations relates to how government can change the issue of service delivery and how you can use our reports also to improve as government, in that when we visit with our roadshows, you could see that a lot of municipalities are not fully funded. You'd know that they depend on grants. But then that's where service delivery is. And then you find that provinces, which are responsible for policy matters, they are overcapacitated or they have a lot of officials to do the work. Hence our recommendation that when we deal with systemic investigation and we issue a report, that's where we would then say, can you consider changing the structure of municipalities or consider how you fund provinces versus how you fund the municipalities? So that addresses the number of complaints which are reducing. And also it addresses the number of people not lodging complaints with the institution, because during those roadshows, when they lodge something relating to Human Rights Commission, we refer them immediately and say we cannot investigate. Yes, public protector can investigate any conduct in terms of the constitution, but then we refer it to those institutions, or we advise a person that it's better for you to deal with this institution because they can assist you. So I think that will help in clarifying the number of complaints we are receiving. Then the issue of National Treasury, the CEO and CFO will respond to that. The issue of the legal fees, Advocate Honorable Mohammed, we have a panel of attorneys. We cannot have the panel of SCs because, remember, we cannot deal directly with the advocates. And then the panel of advocates of attorneys which we have, there is a cap on how much we can pay per hour. So they then need to, whoever we approach as a senior counsel, and we normally, most of the times, we also with the team use junior counsels or even senior junior to deal with the issue of reduction in costs. As an institution, it's so unfortunate, Chairperson, that, and honorable members, that we are in a Chapter 9 institution, a constitutional institution, and our legal fees, we are taken by the very same state to court in violation of Chapter 3 of the Constitution, issue of cooperative governance. We cannot use state attorneys because, remember, state attorneys are representing the very same government departments. But that's a question which honorable members will have to ask themselves. Is it justifiable for government departments to use their budgets to then take the public protector to court? And we spend so much money when we are trying to protect and have an impact on members of the public and strengthen the very same constitutional democracy. And then on the issue of how many women occupy senior, in fact, not that one, the DPP, the delegations of DPP and the quality assurance issue, I think that one the DPP will address. But I don't know how many, and addressing Honorable Breitenbach also, how many honorable members, when the previous chairperson or the fifth administration, the handover report, whether there was a letter which I wrote to the then chairperson of the portfolio committee explaining the delegations which the public protector issues to the deputy public protector, which is provided for in terms of the Public Protector Act, which I think you are aware of is Section 2, capital A, 6 and 7, where the public protector can delegate the work to the public protector. So there, even the former public protector, the delegations which were delegated before, I then also continued with that. But then after the challenges with the compliance with the rule of law of the country, we cannot ignore that. I indicated that we've got the National Strategic Intelligence Act. We've got MIS adopted by this very same government. I wrote to the speaker indicating that this has been picked up. We are expected to be employing, especially even the staff of the Pulse Protector. How do we make sure that we secure the national security of the country? And there's this particular challenge which I am having. I'm delegating the work. This is the work I'll be delegating. I think then there was that change where I had to wait for Parliament to give direction, which direction never came, and there were issues which were raised by this committee, the previous fifth administration. I had to then allocate additional work to the DPP based on that. But even the former Pulse Protector, no high-profile matter or the good governance matters were allocated to DPP. Most of the time it was administrative justice and service delivery matters which were allocated. So it was based purely on that. And then the additional work which was allocated to him was, we're having a backlog which has been there 6 years, 2013, which also has an impact on our budget, because the very same backlog which we had, around 466 matters dating back to 2013, were budgeted for, then were never dealt with. We are still have to deal with that when Honorable Horn and Honorable Beretjen Bach are saying, but then by then you have so many staff and you have so many budget, which never dealt with the matters we are seized with, and it has an impact on our budget currently. But I must say that finally we had a backlog project focused on that particular matter, and we managed to deal with that backlog drastically, because currently we are only remaining with 43 of those old cases. Honorable Jelle, you also raised issues. Thank you for the congratulations. And, you know, our work, I think Honorable I will also add, because it deals with the role we play as ombudsmen or public protector-like institutions. A lot of them are called mediators in Africa, especially the Francophone countries, because that's where we are also seized with the issue of mediation also seized with how we can address issues of rule of law and issues relating to good governance. But then these structures are the structures which we would want even the African Union to utilize. I think there was a question where you asked, how can you assist as a committee? We have been working with Department of International Relations. They are funding the IOC Center, African Ombudsman and Research Center, which is in Durban, University of KZN. And we train our ombudsmen there on mediation, conflict resolution, the work of the public protector. That's where we see ourselves contributing to the issue of conflict resolution, issues relating to, because in other areas, the very same delivery service delivery protests in Sudan, for instance, it started with service delivery protests and it led to what it led. We are there as institutions to help. And we are also saying we can provide services to our countries. Because if you are going to assist Lesotho as South Africa, and in Lesotho there is an ombudsman, why can't you, as an envoy, work with that ombudsman? Because the ombudsman is there to assist the state and the citizens. And when you leave, at least you leave somebody there who can deal with that. So it's an issue of funding from DERCO, which we are trying by all means. They were funding us under African Renaissance Fund, but that has stopped. We're still pleading with them to assist so that we can capacitate the center and train them. So that's the impact we would want to do in Africa at large as ombudsmen. And then the issue of the remedial actions, and I think Honorable Horn also asked about that, the non-implementation of remedial action. We've written several letters to the speaker through the Office for Institution Supporting Democracy. There's that institution there led by Mr. Zweni. where we are referring at ministers who are not implementing our remedial action. I remember we referred them VT matter about defense. We've referred to the Gauteng South College. It was an education matter minister, former minister of education, Naledi Pandor. And they refer them to the committees, but sometimes you find the committees will say the minister has taken you on review, knowing very well that taking on review doesn't suspend the implementation of the remedial action. So it's a to and fro, which we are saying as an institution, you can help us as an oversight, because the very same ministers are reporting to the portfolio committee. So that's what we are doing. We have several reports which are not implemented, we've referred to the speaker. The adding of the targets, I'll also allow the CEO to comment on that. But then the ones we've included in the annual performance plan are issues which needed a very strategic focus to make sure that we can focus on them strategically as an institution, because sometimes when you leave them out of the APP, you find that the focus is lost. The lesser investigative staff and the impact, as I've indicated, that we would want the departments to do their work. We cannot do their work. We would need to focus on systemic investigations. We would want to even take more on initiative investigation. I have that mandate, but I indicated last year that that mandate I'm not utilizing most of the time because of the challenge that we cannot take additional work when our investigators are burdened, because we only have 159 investigators, whereas we are investigating more than 1,000 state institutions, and we investigate any conduct. But then we are trying then to strategically find innovative ways of reducing the numbers. And then the issue, Honorable Mufokeng, on the targets, I think I've dealt with. The MOU issue, Justice will sign the MOU. We've indicated that we will be using magistrates' offices. That is left to management, the CEO and the team, to operationalize that, because Justice requested us, Mam Kaule, ukuthi sisho ukuthi imaphi ama rural areas esifuna ukwa access. And then it's indicated ukuthi ngoba sinama office njengabo mhlaba uyalingana and ikhona magistrate's office lapho, and then it's identify all those far flung magistrate's offices sizokwazi ukuthi ama outreach officials wethu angaya kulezo ndawo bese ba receive ama complaints. So that's what this MOU has helped us to do, but then it's just a matter of operationalizing it. Again, we've identified IEC. IEC has a lot of support from government and from a lot of municipalities. Everywhere you go, we go, we find that IEC have offices. So we would want, or even our two song centers, we have an MOU with COCTA also, is to operationalize it. We have an MOU with SALGA, so it's a matter of operationalizing it. The challenge with the speakers, Honorable Mufokeng, is that I wanted us to enter into MOUs with the speakers. Remember, speakers have a role of oversight over the executive. And when we enter into an MOU, we would want to work with them. When they do petitions, a lot of people who are lodging complaints through AMA service delivery protests, they will then submit those demands. Utolukuti, the very same demands or petitions or complaints are lodged with the public protector. So with the MOU, I was intending, or I'm intending to work with the speakers, which mabenza ama public participations. They then take our officials with, so that because we don't have resources to organize our own imbizos, but we can use their forums to do that. And when they receive complaints, we can then compare the complaints they have. A lot of them, they can resolve as a speaker's office, the petitions officer, and we can close our files. Then we can also manage to reduce a lot of duplications. But unfortunately, some of the speakers cooperated. We even escalated the matter to the NCOP last year. And it was not taken in that spirit that we wanted to assistance from the NCOP to engage the speakers to at least sign this. So it was out of our control, we couldn't sign with all of them. But now what we've done is that remove it from the APP, but I'm still pursuing it. We've signed several additional now on top of the three we've signed. And again, the speakers, when they conduct their own oversight visits, or also when we have MECs who do not implement our remedial actions, and when we have escalated, maybe the HODs are not cooperating, that's where we work with the speakers of the provinces to assist. And also when they sit with their provincial speakers forum, would want to engage with them. So that will have a very serious impact in how we do our work, and also it's part of saving on costs. And then the issue of roadshows, radio stations, I've indicated we're focusing on community radio. We are also encouraging our officials to call in, especially if Mhlobo Wenene, or if it's a local radio station, people are complaining, and those matters fall within our jurisdiction, we can advise the officials to do that. Disability staff, CEO will respond to that. But then on all our roadshows, we have sign language interpreters, and we also have our pamphlet in Braille, especially to address those who need that access. Honorable, I think Honorable Nivot also asked about that. So we're trying our level best to deal with that. Possibly then the challenge is the issue of how many staff members do we have to comply to the requirements which are there. The issue of clinics, Honorable Mufokeng, it relates to the outreach clinics. It's not your Department of Health clinics. But we give feedback to complainants, because when we go through around the roadshows, we take along the investigators. They register complaints. We open a file. So the feedback we give to the complainant. If it's a systemic investigation, for instance, we were in Worcester, Mam Kaul, and we had a lot of complainants there. Hence, UDPP is saying people have lost even trust on the government, because the complaints are lodged, nothing is happening. The usage of Africans when they deal with the issues, the IDP. So those are the issues we were encouraging, and the issue, ama farm workers, they are not being employed. Ama locals, they employ ama foreigners. We were pleading with them, which is over a systemic investigation, then labor and home affairs, so that we can see how can farmers comply to the labor laws, how they can comply to the immigration laws, and avoid violating those legislations. So those are the issues which we are dealing with when we go around. But if feedback we give to the complainants, if it's a systemic investigation, then we also issue a report. Honorable Horn, the findings of the AG, CEO, and the senior manager, in fact the CFO, will respond to that. The backlog cases, we've sent the list the last time after the 10th of July, but then currently I can safely say we are only left with, I think, around 53 cases which are dating back to your 2011-2013, which we are now finalizing. I'm hopeful that by this second quarter, all that will be dealt with. But again, for me to make sure that we've got, we are not delaying to deliver services, Honorable Chairperson, they call me, Uguting, I'm too operational. But sometimes it helps so that we can make sure that we don't delay. We have now a system, not having a case management system, but then IT designed some system where we can keep all our complaints. Your cases which are due to be finalized in 6 months, which are early resolution, cases which are due to be finalized in 12 months, which are service delivery related, and cases which are due to be finalized in 2 years, which are good governance, corruption, and complex matters. So that process is monitored every week. I sit with the chief of staff and the COO to check the performance. And then every month I sit with the executive to deal with their performance on how do they make sure that we are not creating the backlog which has been there. So that is a process which is operational, which the COO and the executive managers and the chief investigators or senior managers will have to monitor whilst we're still waiting for the case management system. I know sometimes it takes long for us to deal with that. So we've submitted the list. And then the Free State website matter, again, is one of those cases which has taken a lot of our time. We had to even request CSIR to assist us with the analysis of the prices for the websites, because we don't have money to employ a specialist in that field. We had to also request the SIU to analyze the telephone communications of those involved. Hence the delay, which, I mean, since 2013, nothing was done. Hence now we are busy doing that. And we need to make sure that when we issue the report, all those areas are covered. I must say that there was a draft Section 7-9 notice. I think I received it September, but then it had to be turned back because of the quality of work which has been done. I think the issue of the quality of work, which we are having, is that there's a smaller team now dealing with that. We have an investigator, senior in fact, a chief investigator, who is a supervisor, must check the quality of the work. We have the executive manager who will make sure that whatever is drafted when it's brought to the public protector is properly done. And the CEO, who has a quality assurance senior investigator, will have to make sure that that is happening. So the reinstatement of quality assurance, I think DPP will deal with that, but from my side, what I would say, the think tank process was there, initiated by Mushwana. I've discovered that when we had financial challenges, the then acting CEO, we had to then check, is this value for money? You find provincial managers coming to the provinces quarterly. You have a list of investigations. They must present those Section 7-9 and the reports, draft reports, because when that is presented to me, I don't get all those files and the investigation. I get, after the investigation is complete, I get the Section 7-9, which needs to be dealt with. A lot of the times you find that you meet, that is presented, it's still having a lot of mistakes, it's deliberated on. Some people will come there, all that for the duration of the meeting, a chief or a director level will never say anything or any input. You've spent a lot of money for people to travel there. Then it was a situation of saying, no, let's bring the senior investigators who have investigated the matters. So more expenses were spent. Then at the end of the day, the decision was, let's then reduce this think tank to a task team. A task team was few investigators and senior investigators will sit, receive this Section 7-9 notice, will go through them and check the update and also the status of those matters. That was the process which was then reduced to quality assurance, in fact, to the task team. Now you have a challenge that you are paying executive managers very high and exorbitant amounts, which is their responsibility to make sure that any work done by an investigator before it reaches the public protector, quality has been done. Then that responsibility was also given to that executive and the COO to make sure that there is that particular work. Then the issue of the parliament follow-ups that I've mentioned earlier, the Friere matter, that report I've issued, which my predecessor completed the investigation 2015, I've issued. It had a finding against the very same HOD who presented, and there were disciplinary processes which were taken against him. And the issue of the involvement of the politicians, as requested by the portfolio committee, that investigation is at an advanced stage. I would say that we have subpoenaed a lot of other information because, interestingly, is that it's not only the Free State politicians who were involved. We'll have to get the side of the story of the politicians, like your former Minister of Finance, the former Minister of Agriculture, your former Minister of Rural Development, because they are also part of that process of CASP and the National Treasury in how that matter was dealt with. So the investigation is up to date in that particular matter. And then on the issue of the adverse or the donor funding, I must indicate that this process is a process which has been initiated by members of the public who are feeling that there's a threat to this constitutional institution. And again, it's a matter of making sure that we are not threatened as an institution, especially the independence of the institution and the instilling of fear in the person of the public protector. It is my view that because that was directed to my personal capacity, and I still view that has been prompted by a court judgment which unfairly separated the public protector from Busisiwe Mkhwebane, and I'm still of the opinion that this is creating a lot of precedents, because now a lot of people who are lodging those reviews, they are using that route now to say there must be a personal cost over the public protector, whereas the public protector is there to assist the public. And these people who are raising the money for the public protector understands that our democracy is in danger. And if we allow people who are occupying these positions, who are there for them, being threatened by personal cost orders, it will be a challenge. Therefore, it's a question of allocation of the or availing the money in my personal space, which will be declared, and we have a personal legal opinion on this particular matter. And again, I was doing my work as a public protector. And then the comments which are there in the courts, I've mentioned several times that were the very same judges. They have a lot of judgments which are issued, which are set aside by higher courts, and that has nothing to do with, in fact, if a judge has commented on certain issues, the higher court might find that the judge performed their work accordingly. And what we are learning from the processes, we do note what are the issues which we need to improve on as an institution, and what are the issues which we feel we need to oppose. And Chairperson, again, state taking the public protector, a constitutional institution, to court. And the public protector, when I oppose those reviews, it's a matter of assisting the court to come to a decision which will be balanced, also not impacting on the mandate of the public protector, but it's as if by opposing its frivolous litigation on our side. And that's what is causing this perception that if you lose cases in court, it's as if you are not performing your duties. And I must say, those reviews are not focusing on substantive matters, are focusing on procedural issues, which most of the time is issues which we can explain ourselves, but then again, it depends on whether our explanation is taken into consideration. So on the issue of the trends, I've already dealt with that, though we haven't done a scientific study on the number of reductions, but for me, I see it as the Vision 2023 pillars being implemented and are effective. And lack of oversight of Parliament, I think Honorable Swart will appreciate your assistance. And there's no growing lack of faith in the institution. I normally, when I go around the provinces doing the roadshows, I will also address members of the public to say, I think some of you have seen what is reported in the media. Unfortunately, they are not interested, because they are interested about the bread and butter issues and what they are going to eat, whether they have water, whether they have electricity. But then none of them will be asking whether you can do your work or we don't have trust in you, because they will lodge the complaints. A lot of them now, they know what is our mandate as the public protector. And then lack of compliance to remedial action. Again, I need to remind the House that our role as the public protector is to investigate, issue remedial action, and issue a report. The issue of compliance, we do follow up, Honorable Janji, which you've indicated that we need to include that. We do follow up, but at the end of the day, that is now outside of the constitutional mandate of the public protector. we do escalate those to the executive, in fact, to the parliament for oversight. We will appreciate it if the portfolio committee can help us, and if we also, when we write to Mr. Zweni in the OISD, we can also write to the portfolio committee if you can help us to plead with those executives or whoever is not complying to our remedial action. The buyer matter, Honorable Swart, I'm not aware of. It's the first time hearing. I'll see, I don't know whether we have something like this. It's very concerning if they would have that finding without writing to me as the public protector directly. And I don't think Professor Majola would do that, but we will have to follow up. And Honorable Nivot, thank you so much for the congratulations. I've indicated that that's the least we can do to try and enrich people with disability, the translation in the sign language, and our brochures being having braille. And the CEO and CFO will respond to your concerns. The MOUs I've already dealt with, and the speakers which are cooperating, but others, then they will still want to consult with their other stakeholders in the caucus before they can sign the MOU. And then the PR Western Cape, it was an oversight, Honorable Janji. I think you also were raising some few mistakes in our annual report. Maybe while still there, let me explain that due to financial constraints, we didn't outsource printing of this. We utilized internal communication staff. And also there's an intern. We have acquired some interns through the SETA to give that experiential training. One of them is a graphic designer who managed to design this for us. And we said we will be having to appreciate him so much because we've saved a lot of money, but then again, it's not an excuse that we have these mistakes in our annual report. It means CEO and the team will have to put more effort to check these small mistakes, and my apology for those. And I think we've repeated the Advocate Stoffel's photo twice instead of putting Advocate Sune Gisel, who is here from the Western Cape, Honorable Nivot, she's here, yes. And Honorable Mulawuzi, the CEO will deal with the issue of the employment equity, and we try our level best to make sure that we have that 50-50 representation. And but in the executive level, I would say even now, yes, we are supposed to have filled 9 out of the 7, but then we have more than 4 women executive at an executive level, which is your chief director level in government, and we only have 3 males, which is CEO and Advocate Stoffel, while counting the DPP. That is balanced, but then when it goes to other levels, we'll have to do more, I agree. DPSA was used because we also didn't have resources to go on a company to do turnaround strategy, because what I wanted to check was if we pay a senior investigator around 800,000 or 900,000, are we getting value for money and the quality of work we are getting? So, and the structure, how many people should we be having as an institution when we are having so much work to do, and the impact which we will have. So that process is at an advanced stage. CEO will report on that. And then the backlog, I've indicated that we are now remaining with around 53 of those, and I hope by this quarter will be finished. Unfortunately, again, I'm one person who will have to follow up as an executive, because if things are not done, and I'm called, I indicated the last time that they called me consequence management, because if people are not meeting the targets which they are promising they'll be meeting, it's a challenge. I mean, that's what sometimes you'll have to push the officials, but they are trying their level best. The complainants, We have service standards. They are there on our website. Yes, where and the rules. We inform the government how long must you respond to our Section 79, how long must you respond to our letters, and also we have service standards where we are saying committee, but to Billy, every 6 weeks we must update. Then we do have challenges, Honorable Ngola, where then a complainant would want us to investigate the matter the way they would want, or they would want to be told every day. Actually, there are those who are calling every day, irrespective of the fact that you have an investigator with 20 files. They will have to follow up on all those 20, but then there's one person who will expect to be informed daily, which sometimes it's not possible to do that. But we are trying our level best and the officials to instill that issue of batupili, treating them with courtesy and making sure that whatever matter which we have, let's give priority to those which are lodged by the with the committee. Definitely they can be referred to my office, especially in my office. We can then follow up with that. We have an email created to receive all those complainants, customer-related, and we follow up so that officials are responding to that. Then the issue of underspending, and the CFO and CEO will respond. Internal audit, they will respond. The issue of partnering with SIU, indeed, we have an MOU with SIU. We do engage them to deal with the matters. The retired experts, I think if then the resources allows, we will do that. And normally also we, on the experts, they are investigated, like one investigation of ESCOM we are busy with, but it's an old matter as well about Kusile and them, where we've received the information, but we don't have capacity internally to analyze certain evidence, would need an expert to help us in that particular matter. So sometimes we can't then go to SIU, we can't go to other state institutions, we'll have to get a consultant from outside. Honorable Zungula, thank you for your information and your words of encouragement. Indeed, the institution is focused purely on the servicing the South Africans, the poor, the marginalized, and would want to focus on the grassroots. And that's the request we would make to the members of the parliament, especially where Mam Zungul, njengoba so usitshelile ngalama complaints. When you go to your constituencies and you receive such complaints, we will suggest that at least record them, bring them, we register them so that we can investigate them. I know sometimes you'll find that you go, you can inform us, but they are not registered. So if that can be collected, can be registered, because that's where you are going and that's what we are seeing the impact. We also want to work with the very same institutions or those NGOs which have resources, which can also focus on people at the grassroots to help us to implement even the remedial action, because that's what I've been saying, that you have the vendor pension fund matter, Honorable Mulawuzi, the one you were very close to. How do we escalate? Because we've also raised it with the portfolio committee, in fact with the speaker, so that they can deal with it in the relevant committee, especially for Treasury to implement that. Or as well, you'd find those NGOs which have resources. Why can't they take those matters to court to enforce those remedial action? So if we can have those institutions focusing on the reports we've issued, it will be very helpful. And won't render our work or some of the remedial action to be in not impactful. 40 organs of state, hence I said, they are not implementing our remedial action. Some of them, they've taken them on review, but then they've not interdicted. Some of them then took us on review after we released this particular statement, sort of naming and shaming, but then it means we are calling for more reviews by the institution. So you asked earlier about how can Parliament assist IOMA. I indicated that at least if Department of International Relations, which can work with us very closely, especially continue to fund the IOC center, because they were the ones who were keeping the center sustainable. That will be very helpful because it contributes to their vision also in conflict resolution. So the issue of the lack of trust, I think DPP will add on that. How can it be improved? It's sad when we go around the provinces. It's very sad to hear to the stories of our people 25 years after this democracy. And you still hear challenges of people not being allocated houses or allocated houses, challenges of sewage spillage in their houses, their kids getting sick, this thing of building toilets which are far away from the houses, kids and women being raped, going to... So we still the stories which we are hearing as an institution, and we're dealing with maladministration, we're dealing with undue delay, we're dealing with the abuse of state resources. On the complaints where we intervene, we're trying our level best to do that, but then again, it's members of the executive, or in some areas you find that even the mayor and even the premier, they are not supportive of our work, or in other areas, the people are very antagonistic towards the mayors and the municipal officials because they've lost that trust. So, like in Masipumelelo, we had to then bring that trust back, be mediators. So that's where we come in as an institution, because we can mediate then between the public and the government officials, and we are here to help them as an institution. So that's what we do, and we have officials in provinces and regional offices to do that. Then Honorable Breitenbach has left. The budget issues, and I've addressed it earlier, that why our work, the impact of the Vision 2023, encouraging people to lodge complaints with those institutions, and they have internal complaints mechanisms, and use the public protector as an office of second instance. And the issue of the labor costs they'll deal with, and the issue of blaming investigators, I think Section 3 of the Public Protector is very clear, because I rely on my investigators to conduct the investigations. I wouldn't be able to finalize the 14,000, in fact, the 9,000 complaints this financial year if it was not for the officials which are employed. I think if you check Section 3, the Public Protector will delegate the work or will be assisted by these officials. And I rely on them 100% to do the work. I think that's what also in that particular instance, the issue of sub judice comes in. We'll deal with that matter when we respond to the court papers. But for the information of the public, the Public Protector is not dealing with each and every matter. The only matters which reaches the Public Protector are matters where I issue Section 7(9) notices to implicated parties, or where I issue reports, I sign reports. And also when signing those reports, I depend fully and trusting that my officials have done quality work and have included all the information in those particular reports. Unfortunately, this again is that narrative of wanting to separate the Public Protector to Busisiwe Mkhwebane. So, Honorable Ngola, thank you so much for congratulations. Indeed, we would want to assist Africa to silence the guns by 2020, but it seems as if we might be late, but we are contributing in our spaces as ombudsmen and mediators to engage and even be mediators or use alternative dispute resolution measures to deal with it. The issue of the three-year measure barometer for years to... It's appreciated because now one has learned a lot in this institution. The next 4 years we will utilize to be more impactful, especially the challenges which we are facing as a country. The cases completed by office, some taken on review, how many implemented. We have that list. We can send you all the list where 100% have been implemented. But then there is that issue of the reviews. I've issued around 150 reports, and then the reports which are under review is 63. So I don't know how much is the percentage. The ones which were set aside is the FIEDE, which we are appealing that judgment to the SCA. Then the CX matter is completely dealt with by the Constitutional Court, though it was only focusing on the cost order or punitive cost order issues. And I've said is that report, the findings are still not yet set aside, are still valid. The Baboba Mokgale, it was set aside in part because there was one Mr. Dlamini who was feeling that we didn't give him an opportunity to put his side of the story. And then the ones we affirmed by the courts, Mandela Funeral, that has been report issued, taken on review. We've won that, in fact, not won per se, but it was a success. Mapule Mugabe Pukwana, the one for the HOD in Limpopo. And parties are exercising their rights in review matters. And as an institution, again, it's not about the public protector, and it's not about even losing or winning cases. But I think government departments or whoever is taking us in review, can you think about the people which we are trying to protect? What impact would that have on them? Because that's all we are focusing on as an institution. And then the shortfalls, CO and CFO, and the AG meta cases, which are, okay, Honorable, the Peu meta, the report has been issued, and the only challenge we had from the company Peu, because they felt that the DPP mentioned something they were not happy with, and they wanted the public protector to clarify that, where we've issued a statement to them, and we indicated that we were investigating Tswane, not investigating them per se, but because they were part of the process. By a timber, we've issued the report. There is that City of Tswane Fleet tender matter. We have received the complaint. I think it's ongoing. So we normally take, if there's complicated matters, it takes up to 24 months, as we've indicated, the GG, good governance and integrity matters. The complaints against the public protector by members of the public, they are welcome because it's also a barometer for us to check and continuously request the executive, the provincial representatives, to always make sure that they update complainants about their matters. That's 6 weeks every month. And when the complainant, the report is closed, in fact, the investigation is closed at the provincial level, there are those which are closed at the chief investigator level. But if a person is not happy, they must complete a form for review so that it's escalated to the next level of the institution until it reaches the public protector. Because once then the matter is closed by the public protector, then I cannot be reviewing that matter. Honorable Kaula Nyabonga for the feedback, ngizocela nje ukuthi all the complaints sithola amafomu. Actually, some of them basis was which is follow up in general of Ward 43, Nale issue a massimeter. So I issue a reporting about the mortuary, the workers base mortuary, AKZN. But then if there's still issues as the proper up, we will conduct new investigation on those matters. Access to our rural areas, definitely that's our focus. Vision 2023, see Buyabom Kanya the last year. Yes, this year we were around Pietermaritzburg, because our focus this year was to engage our members, we're executive on this Executive Members Ethics Act. And then ngiyacela nje ma ukuthi masingaqalisa ama form sibuya khona eVusta, sibonile inkinga zalapha, sibonile nama challenges abawufaceayo, and those are the issues ukuthi if government I act quicker zilidela to ama protests and in the fight nje between ama foreigners and attack on foreigners by the locals, because they feel ukuthi bona baqhashwa or bathathola umsebenzi. So masinga intervene lapho sizokwazi ukuthi sincede nale zinto zase lelindela, because we are dealing with those matters e Gauteng, there is a complaint we are dealing with. La uthola ukuthi abantu bamuva kabhlungu bayohlaliswa endaweni is 2 years now. We conducting an alternative dispute resolution. Sihlale ne city nabo na rural development, in fact human settlement and everyone ukuthi labantu babekwe endaweni e permanent banikezwe ama structure. So izinto esizenzayo lezo, we can be there to support, because at the end of the day sinceda umphakathi. Honorable Janki, I've noted the page you're referring to, the matter. Indeed, that's a challenge. But the others, it's a 2017-18, and then the other is 2019-20. And that one of mentioning Malusi Gigaba on the annual report, whereas it speaks about somebody else, pick it up. Yes, again, it's a very serious and a glaring mistake which we've done, and we will have to correct that page, because at least we are printing internally. Then we will have to correct those few matters. And then e-report is only closed, Honorable Janki, when, because again, mandating the Constitution, investigate, issue a report, remedial action. So once we issue a report, the matter is dealt with. But internally, we do follow up a compliance. We follow under CEO, Ubutige, follow up nala wama departments, write to them within 30 days, send us a plan. We can include that information actually in the annual report. It will depend with Sifago annual report or Tumela separately, but we have that list which we can send to show you how our remedial actions have been implemented. The report to any other authority, Igulas Bonakona, or where we see that as a public protector, the Human Rights Commission is better off to deal with the matter, the CRL is better off to deal with the matter, or even the health ombudsman, military ombudsman, the ombudsman of the city, so that we only intervene where all else has failed. Unfortunately, Home Affairs is still leading, and the local municipalities, they are still our highest. And Home Affairs, we issued a systemic investigation, because it's around immigration related, especially the visas, the issues relating to application for asylum. The health matters, we try by all means to engage the health ombudsman. We also have an MOU with them so that we can refer the matters to them. The issue of the breakdown or the carryover, CEO and CFO will respond to. I think they'll have to clarify when we responded whether EAG final auditing. Possibly it might be the contribution to that. And CEO will respond to this 6 million contractual obligation. And Honorable Gade, Honorable Gade, this one will be responded to. But as I've indicated, I've written to the former chairperson explaining those challenges of security clearance, which state security agency responded that, again, it's a part of education or educational. In your process in appointing the next DPP, those are the issues which we'll have to consider, because we've got Chapter 11 of the Constitution, which provides for state security agents, Chapter 11 or 12. There is MIS, which requires that how documents, top secret documents, should be handled. And they responded with the security clearance of the DPP, and they said, unfortunately, if you are still a naturalized citizen, you are not yet 20 years in the country, they cannot issue you with the top security clearance. So those are the issues you'll have to check going forward, and the lessons learned when it comes to the issue of DPP. I'll hand over to CEO and CFO, and then DPP will address the few questions which you were asked to address.
Okay, thanks.
Before CEO, I think the public protector has covered a lot of ground. We would really ask you to really address issues that she has not addressed and be straight to the point.
Thanks, Chair.
Just a moment, Chairperson. May May it be clarified to us to which extent is it correct that whilst we are still in the meeting, the Deputy Public Protector is busy tweeting, contradicting the Public Protector? And secondly, in fact, he said that some of us are asking the questions because of the cameras. I think it's very disrespectful. I wonder who's going to be. He even says, anyway, I am done. I've got nothing to answer. That's what he's tweeting. Anyway, I'm done. That's why we are being disrespected by him. I don't think he should speak in this meeting. We don't need his response in any way whatsoever.
Honorable members.
Point of order, sir. I think Masila, finance protected. And the West Bill, funa wazi uthi Masila, thina sisebenza kubantu into esuke siyizelela. Asendaba namakamera, azawazi angaphuma amakamera angaphandle. Angeke sikumele ukuthi silasimele abantu kube khona umuntu olokhu echukuluzana ngabanye abantu. If une-issue nomunye umuntu, khona indawo lafuna ukuyikhulume khona, not here. Ngiyacela uzame ukusiprotect. Ngoba la sizosebenza. Even now, kwamina nginento eyiningi la, fana ngabe ngiyayireport, affect abantu bakithi. Sesimbona public protest. Soke asinathi sicela ukuvikelwa, ngiyabonga. Ngeke ukuthi njalo kuloku report into yodwa ngomuntu oyi-one. Akasho ukuthi yini ayiqondile.
Honorable members, thank you very much. I'm appealing to everybody here because it would not be fair also to the chairperson. I must listen to people who are speaking. I'm not looking at Twitter and tweeting. If that is happening, please, it must really stop. Let's focus on what is at hand. Please, please, honorable members. If that thing is happening, it must stop. Let's just focus on the work at hand. I'm telling everybody. And can we please...
In addition to what you are saying, because we still at the end are going to hear from the public protector, the Deputy Public Protector, but I don't want this meeting to be reduced into a Twitter gossip, because we will be starting a wrong precedent. We're in a meeting here now.
Please, let's maintain the decorum of the meeting, and let's ensure that we don't do anything that will affect that decorum of the meeting. Please, honorable members and everybody who is part of this meeting. CEO?
Thanks, Chair. Mine won't be that long. I'll start with the case management system. For years, the organization is running on a spreadsheet, and that's the reason why the AG has raised the issue of the completeness. But we are working on that. We engaged the services of an individual who was assisting us to do the case management system internally on a pro bono basis. We have a project to say that this system at least should be up and running by the next financial year. I don't want to make big promises, but it's progressing very well with the internal team and this individual that is assisting us. There's an issue of staff with disabilities. Currently, we had five. Under review, we had five staff members with disabilities. One passed away, unfortunately, may his soul rest in peace. And then what's happened, actually, that one is critical because the question was mainly to say if people with disabilities come to our offices, are they assisted and all the stuff. She was doing that. But members, let me bring to your attention that all our adverts, they encourage people with disabilities to apply. It's so difficult to attract them. But where we can, we do appoint them. And then I think the PP dealt with the issue of a number of executives. Yes, we are a female-dominated organization on top. It's just that at the director's level, although we have 25 directors, 18 are male. Again, it's an issue of saying who does best during the interviews. The Western Cape PR was addressed. She's here. Oh, she left again. And then, remember, you raise an issue, I think, on the clinics. Ours is not health clinics. It's basically outreach clinics where we go out and put our tent and then educate people about our work. So that's one. The issue of the South African human resource, I'll attend to that. I think it was a matter of prior. I just got information that it's not that we don't comply, but I think we're responding late. The problem is because I had to appoint information officers who are responsible and all the stuff, but we didn't have what we call standard operating procedures to say when they get a request for information, how they deal with that and all the stuff. But that is all in place. There was also an issue of security. Again, maybe this one need to explain it in terms of the budget process. We all go to National Treasury and make our bids, and then Treasury considers everyone as issues and then decide on that. So we have made our case. We are all waiting for the medium-term budget statement on the 29th of October. We don't know what's happening. But the reality is that if you ask me as a CEO, what is it that you will prioritize, I will say security, because our officials are really negatively affected by this. And it's also a big issue between us and the union in terms of protecting our staff. Then the organizational structure with the help of the DPSA, there we're basically doing the looking at whether we need to rearrange the functions of our personnel, especially actually in all the categories, to improve efficiency and where possible to move people to where they are better suited. And also the issue of saying the public protector actually tried to explain this to say that do you really need senior investigators all over the show, or you need to break down their salaries and appoint more of the ground staff, which are your investigators, in order to improve more efficiency or do better work because of the caseload. Member Janji, any information that comes before the finalization of audit, it's bound to have errors because it's unaudited information. We apologize for that. We try to work at least according to a certain margin of error so that whatever we provide to Parliament, there's little errors. I just pick up that there were few errors, hence you have a bigger number of cases that were carried over vis-a-vis the final one that were audited going forward. And then the additional targets, we added four. It was 2 years and older. Because of the recurrent of these cases, we had to reflect it in the performance agreement of our personnel. So as a result, we had to put it as a target. And then MOU, we added it because it's easy for us to work with institutions if we have a memorandum of understanding with them. That is why we put them. Then the roadshow, I think it was explained, is part of the accessibility so that people can know about our work. And then the radio slot, we encourage our provincial colleagues to go out there and talk about our work or respond to issues of investigation so that people know that we exist and where they can find us.
Yes, I think those, I'll give it to
Steve. Yeah, I was getting worried that you are starting to repeat what has already been explained.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the audit issues, starting with the payments outside of 30 days, in total, the payments that were made outside 30 days, they constitute 28%, which is about 200 invoices. The number of suppliers implicated, all of them are still in operation, because we're dealing mainly with contracted services because we do not have much of budget. But if I may also give background, when I joined the institution in July, there had been three key positions that were vacated. The previous acting CFO that left before the new the April of 2018, a manager in finance left also at the same time, and the senior manager who was there when I came left at the end of July. So there were not weren't effective controls in terms of managing that process. However, from September until now, we do have an effective system to manage the payment of suppliers. I can assure you that between April and end of September, 100% of our invoices were paid within 30 days. So we are in control of that aspect. And then in terms of the cancellation of leases was a commendation which we appreciate. And then slide number 42, the remedial actions. The question asked there was that have these been recovered or still to be recovered? The latest information which I got from the office was that they have not yet been recovered. At the time of preparing the report, we were not sure because these are supposed to be implemented by the affected institutions. So from time to time, they are supposed to update the PPSA on whether or not these have been the remedial actions have been implemented. So all of this that is listed on slide 42 have not been
recovered by the institutions affected. The issue of the underspending, we received additional funding of 16 million from the Department of Justice after we raised our concerns to them about our pressures. We received it on the 28th of March. However, looking at the history of our financial health, the institution, because we are not a revenue-generating institution or a trading entity, wherein if we have an accumulated deficit of 22 million that has been there for past many years, if we're a trading entity, we would have to up our sales or do aggressive marketing in order to ensure that we increase our revenue. But it was warranted, if I may put it like that, to say we underspend for us to be able to come at a break even so that we move forward on a clean slate. However, that additional funding that we received was on the 28th of March, when it was actually 3 days before the end of the financial year. Issues of internal audit, we have so far appointed two internal auditors at an assistant manager level. The senior manager level is at an advanced stage. So the current outsourced service provider, the contract is coming to an end now at the end of October. In terms of the presentation we made to Treasury in July 2018, which is what we sent to the Portfolio Committee after we came in July, the budget process starts in July of every year. So the process of 2019 MTF started in 2018 July. So what we presented to Treasury in 2018 July, which is what we gave to you after the 10th of July when we came here, indicated how we're going to allocate the baseline which Treasury had indicated to us, which had the implications of budget cuts of about 4%, I think, per financial year. So in that slide, we're indicating to say if those cuts were to be implemented, this is how we're going to allocate our budget, including the legal fees. Hence, you are seeing 4 million in 2018-19, 4.2 million in 1920. That was in last year, July. However, through successful negotiations and positive considerations by National Treasury, the budget cuts were not as much as they had indicated when the budget process started. Hence, in the current financial year, we have allocated 10 million for legal fees. When we responded to say, we cannot tell you the split, it's just the allocated budget, because at this point, it's the budget that we are spending as and when the cases are being dealt with and invoices are coming. I'm not sure if I am clarifying that. And the issue of the leave gratuity, we did not present it to Treasury in July 2018. We presented it at the Portfolio Committee here in July 2019. We indicated that we're requesting the Portfolio Committee to consider it because it's not covered in the conditions of service. So we couldn't take such a request to National Treasury when it's not governed by any legislation. However, the developments on the matter is that there is a Remunerations Committee that is dealing with the matter. So until a determination has been made in that aspect, we can then go to Treasury and confidently make such a request. And then on the issue of material misstatements on our financial statements, definitely we're not there yet. However, as indicated even in the previous sitting when we were here in July, we do have a clean audit strategy that is in place. It is a living document like we indicated. We have been able to achieve some of the targets that are there. However, we're not able to reduce the number of audit findings by 50%. But what I want to indicate is that of the audit findings that we have at the end of March, which is the report that we issued in July 2019, only 7 are repeat findings. The rest of the findings are new. So we were able, through the audit action plan that we put in place, to deal with most of the findings that have been there for past many years. I must indicate as well that as the member indicated to say, we cannot give an excuse of key positions that are vacant. Like I indicated earlier, the CFO who had been there left before the beginning of the financial year. Two other members, employees left within the first 4 months of that financial year. That has an impact on how transactions are recorded even during that period when there is that gap. I think the AG also indicated that issues of instability within the financial management had an effect on how the financials were. But I can assure the committee that the revised clean audit strategy that is in place with the establishment of the internal audit unit internally, we are able to get to a clean audit. But I also need the committee to note the significant improvement that we had from the previous financial year, which is 17-18 and the 18-19. I think I've covered all the questions, Chairperson. Thank you.
Deputy Public Protector, in your response, please note that we will also be requesting you to do the exit report, and we might still have to have a meeting with you. So it's not your last input, so be straight to the point.
Before...
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Sorry. In fact, Chairperson, my request is that he must not answer... I don't know how can I put this, because my fear is that whatever that is going to say out of what happened now, it can also cause another, you know, fire. We don't want that fire. I think please short and only few questions that others will get them from the report that he will give. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. I just want to probably clarify. And I think there's been a lot of questions coming from the Honorable Member Gadi, and I alluded to the fact that during the break we had an engagement where I indicated to him that I will respond to him as to, what I will respond to what he has said, and especially the fact of the fact that they had not been consistent regarding the public protector. A few months ago, there was a lot of insults directed in her direction by the same grouping. So I think that probably he took offense from that. And Honorable Janji and Ngola were there. They were eyewitnesses. So the arrest is actually an exaggeration to say, look. And of course, I do confirm that I did respond.
Deputy Public Protector, yes. Please. I think we said after the meeting we will deal with that issue.
Oh, okay. And my apologies.
We ask you to respond to the issues that the public protector said you must respond to.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Issues of policy and issues that, and also bearing in mind that we are still going to have a meeting with you.
Okay, no, that's fine. I was just, Chair, I was just clarifying the misunderstanding that came across, and I see it clearly just as a misunderstanding. I just also want, firstly, I want to highlight the question of Honorable Breitenbach concerning high profile matters. I did clarify the fact that until probably 2016 or so, security clearance issues have never been an issue in regard to this role in any shape or form. So I did get involved in high profile matters and did conduct interviews, for example, for the Free State website. I interviewed the person who got the tender, and I got the basics and, in fact, everything regarding that report. What, as it were, incriminates the department in question, I elicited that from the complainant in question. The same with the Mandela funeral. The same with Beowulf, pick it up. State capture. So that's in response to Honorable Breitenbach's question. So it's not, it's a misunderstanding to suggest that I did not get involved in these. I have been involved in these over a significant period of time. And I think the other issue is the issue of quality control that were raised by the number of members. For me, Chair, this is more of an advisory position as I am exiting. When I'm saying I'm done, it's not in a crass way. It's to say, look, I'm finishing my term. So this is the advice that I'm giving And what we had was, as the Power Protector has indicated, was a think tank mechanism where all reports will be put up and scrutinized line by line by very senior people in the organization, and people would black holes, they would criticize and so forth. And of course, my advice has been to say that I think in spite of the expensiveness of that process, we might have to bring something back similar to it, because the courts have been quite scathing in terms of what they're saying about our reports. So it's just an advice. I mean, if people don't want to take it, it's fine. But I'm just advising as someone who's done this for 7 years and seeing the successes and the low points. That is the spirit in which I would really like to end this. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Public Protector. I think also, let me start by saying on behalf of the committee, my congratulations to the Public Protector on your election as the President of IOMA, and also note the 22% improvement as a very good sign, which we would encourage as the committee. As we said when we started in July, that as the committee we are there to work with the institutions that report to us. And as such, what we have agreed that we will do is to have a series of meetings, not only wait for the BRRR reports and the report in July. We will be ensuring that we break down our work into smaller, much more focused areas which we would need to probe further, and also to give more of a strategic assistance to all the entities that we are dealing with, including the Office of the Public Protector. So immediately next year when we come back, we would have developed a project plan as to how we are going to be supporting all the entities that report to us. But we are quite pleased that when you came before us, there was an uncomfortability on the fact that there was an issue that you were technically insolvent, and we have passed that. So there are areas where there is a serious improvement that the office has been able to do. But we also think that it would be important that the issues that relate to how you assist ordinary people, they gain prominence. We must not reduce everything just into statistics. For instance, in your opening remarks, how you have intervened to help people access their pension, these are the stories that must really be taking even prominence, even in our reports. And because just statistics, they make, in fact, sometimes they take away what was originally envisaged about the Office of the Public Protector. We need that information to really come up. We would like to take also this opportunity on behalf of the committee to thank you, Deputy Public Protector, for the 7 years of service to the nation. We wish you well in your future endeavors. We are very thankful that you have spent 7 years to the service of our nation, and we wish those that are remaining many more years of good service to our people. Honorable members, thank you very much. What we will do now, I think we will release everybody and have the Deputy Public Protector, Honorable Gadi, and the people that were said to have witnessed the event, so that we can deal with this issue. We will report to the committee. I think the the meeting is adjourned. If we can have those...
Thank you, sir.